hear the word of the Lord for our meditation this day. Jesus replied, "Haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh? So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate.'" Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give you all praise and honor for your holy word, for your word is true. And here you're quoting from Genesis chapter 2, and you are letting people know the power of the covenant that you make with us, but that you also use as an example in the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the Old Testament and the New Testament. You use marriage as an example of your relationship with us. Lord, help us to appreciate the oneness that we have with you and the desire and love you have to be in relationship and in covenant with us. So, Lord, we ask now that you would bring these words to life and allow us to understand the joy that you have in the relationship you desire with each one of us. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The new covenant. Last week we experienced what God was willing to do in order to seal with his son's blood this new covenant with us. And through the waters of baptism, God has marked us, and as Mr. Hart was saying, has named us to be part of what Peter, St. Peter, writing in his first letter to the churches, says we are: a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And the only way that this relationship that we have with God was going to come to pass was Christ had to be the seal. His blood had to be shed so that this covenant could be cut with God. The berit, the covenant cut with God, so that we could have this new covenant. And as we've been talking about covenant, we started with Genesis 3:15. We worked through the covenant that God made with Noah. We talked about the covenant that God made with Abraham. And then we talked about the covenant that God made with Abraham's children, the people of Israel. And we talked about the covenant God made with the Levites so that they could be the people that would intercede for his chosen people. And then we talked about the covenant that we celebrated when we recognized that when Jesus sealed the covenant with his blood, the ultimate guarantee that he had done everything necessary for this new covenant to be active and to continue forever, the covenant that was made with David, that's the one I forgot, the covenant that was made with King David, an everlasting covenant, that when he rose from the dead, he proved that he was the one who was able to do what God promised, right? That's why we were so excited to be able to say those wonderful words, "Christ has risen, he has risen indeed, alleluia." That's the truth. That's who we are. And it amazed me this week that I thought, we picked this series a long time ago. Jim can attest this. He was down in Florida at the time, and we talked about this, and I never thought about the royal wedding being on the right before the Sunday I was going to preach on love and marriage. And I thought it was kind of interesting because as a Canadian, I figured, well, it's a good thing I have CBC because a good thing I can get it on the aerial because I'll be able to tape the royal wedding. You know, it's a 5-6 hour difference, right? So I knew that in order to tape it, I was going to have to make sure I had my VCR, you know, one of those old things they call a VCR. Some of you might know what they are, you know. I still have one. And I would have had to tape it so I could get on the CBC. But then to my shock and amazement, I was able to find the royal wedding on almost every channel. And quite frankly, I'm kind of tired of it. You know, there's something about all this pomp and ceremony that's really fascinating, isn't it? You know, some of you go, no. That's the guys that your wife made you watch this, I bet. There's something about this pomp and circumstance that is attractive. As a matter of fact, it surprised me as I was looking through again, trying to figure out, you know, how I was going to tape this thing, because I was definitely not going to be up at 4 o'clock to watch it. So I was, you know, looking around, and I couldn't believe all the channels that spent like a week preparing for the royal wedding and then had it going over and over and over and over and again. I mean, the Life Channel, for example, it was like a whole week. I made the mistake of doing on the DVR, you know, hitting the record switch. Well, it took like 40 hours worth of recording because that's how much they had on there. It was amazing to me. And the most amazing thing I found, if you read my blog, was I thought it was kind of interesting because I figured it would be these countries like Canada and Australia and New Zealand and all those, you know, the Queen is actually one of the greatest examples of cost sharing in the world. She is so cheap because she's divided by how many countries? 27 countries share the cost of the Queen. I mean, if the cost of the White House was shared by 27 countries, it'd be cheap. As it is, it's not. So, you got to think about this. I thought that, you know, those countries would be interested, you know? I thought those countries would be fascinated. But I found out, to my surprise, that the greatest number of media outlets who paid the biggest amount of money to take pictures of Prince William and Miss Kate Catherine Middleton were not those countries who share the monarchy, but was the United States of America, which I thought was kind of fascinating. But don't we kind of, in our culture, want something pure? Don't we want something with pomp and circumstance? Aren't we looking for something that's bigger than ourselves? So it didn't surprise me too much, except that I thought it was kind of funny. Again, if you read my blog, I thought it was kind of funny that there was all this buzz around as I was flipping through the channels trying to figure out which one I was going to use to tape this thing. I was interested in all the commentary, and there was all this speculation. Well, why wasn't President Obama invited? And I was just like, excuse me, he's not the Prince of Wales. You know what I'm talking about? You know enough about, no? A state wedding happens when either the monarch, she's already been married for a long time, gets married, or the next in line to the throne gets married. Then the government, you know, puts a little money in because they need him or her. Okay, that's a state wedding. A royal wedding is where they're just like us. They got to pay for it themselves, okay? Because he's not the next in line to the throne. Even though you wouldn't figure that out by watching this, he's not. There's lots of people who wish he was because they don't like Chuck. I mean, Charles. I mean, the Prince of Wales. They don't like him. So there's a lot of people out there that wish that William was going to, you know, skip over his dad. But that's not the way it works, okay? So somebody was saying, well, why didn't all the heads of state get invited? And I'm going, well, it's not a state wedding. It's not like they were just trying to make a mat or something. Maybe they were, but it wasn't on purpose, okay? And then to top it all off, as I was watching the previews, and again, I wasn't going to stay up to watch the wedding. I don't even think we watched the whole thing yet. It was so funny because as I'm watching the previews, I'm thinking as an officer who's been commissioned by the Queen, I have my commissioning scroll, and you always wear the highest rank and the best uniform for official ceremonies, which this would be, him getting married and all. And his highest rank is colonel in the Irish Guard. I don't know if you know this, but in almost every place I served in the military, Edmonton and in Cold Lake, Alberta, and different places in Regina, Saskatchewan, Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, everywhere that I was assigned as an officer, that regiment or that military base or whatever always had one of the royals as their colonel, you know, their commander-in-chief, so to speak. And so we always had, most of the time was Prince Andrew for where I was. And so if he came to Canada, he'd come and visit. You know, that was the idea. That's the idea of having him as your colonel. So for whatever reason, Prince William is the colonel of the Irish Guard, which happens to wear red coats. which I thought was hilarious because there's all these Americans following him around, and I thought you guys didn't like red coats. Sorry, it just kind of, fascinated me. Don't you think? Last time I heard, that was, you had a problem with them. Yeah, anyways. Nah, a little bit. Yeah. So, anyway, it was just kind of, don't you think it was fascinating? Any of you actually admit to watching it? A few of you? Okay. I thought it was fascinating. The biggest thing that I thought was fascinating was the wedding vows. Do you find the wedding vows fascinating? I mean, how many of you would have liked to have memorized those? I don't think so. I haven't heard that many thys and these and thous and all those other things like truth, troth, troth. There you go. That's good. I was trying to remember how to say it. Yeah. 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 I mean, how many of us would have liked to have had to memorize those? I mean, come on. But what was fascinating to me was the words that he had to say. And as a matter of fact, some people thought, oh, they picked these. Well, quite frankly, if you've watched any of these, which I know that only the big ones get publicized, but if you watched any of these are all the same. And the thing that I found fascinating was when he said these words, and the reason it's such a fairy tale is because you have a commoner, someone who doesn't deserve to be there, someone who isn't born into this position, a commoner, albeit a rich one, but a commoner who doesn't have any right to be there, gets plucked up from the commons and taken into royalty. And it's really hard for us to understand, unless we understand the history, to think about the fairy tale part of this. That a commoner, someone who doesn't have any right to this, never expects to be ever taken out of the common and into royalty, gets the opportunity to stand up there and hear these words from the guy who will someday, depending on how long his dad lasts, be king. And these are the words that he shares with her when they get married. With this ring I thee wed, with my body I thee honor, and all my worldly goods with thee I share. Isn't that cool? I thought that was neat. No, he said it to her. Because what does she have? Probably more money than him, but not the royalty, okay? Not the royalty. And the reason that was significant was because if you're a commoner and he's a prince and he says to you, with my body I the honor and everything I have I share with you, which means his title, his lands, his prestige, everything, that's quite something, isn't it? And I guess the reason I'm spending so much time on this and everything, oh man, I'm so tired of this, which I am also. But the reason I shared this is because it was such a big deal. 2 billion people watched this. And the reason they watched this is because it's an amazing thing to see someone who's a commoner have a prince say to her, my body I honor you with, and everything I have I share with you. And yet, brothers and sisters, isn't that what St. Peter is talking about? Isn't that what he means when he says we're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God? Isn't that what he's saying? He's saying exactly what Prince William said to Kate. Think about that. That's why the marriage covenant, the covenant of marriage, God uses it over and over again in Holy Scripture. He uses it to describe his relationship with his people Israel. We heard in certain passages of Scripture, for example, in Isaiah 54, verse 5, he says, for your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. Jeremiah 3:14 says, return, faithless people, declares the Lord, For I am your husband. I will choose you, one from a town and two from a clan, and bring you to Zion. And the one of my favorites is Hosea. Any of you read the prophet Hosea? If you haven't, you should. Because his whole life was all about redeeming his wife, who continued to falter, who continued to betray him, and he even had to ransom her from a slave auction. I mean, she was unfaithful, like the people of Israel, and God kept saying to Hosea, go and redeem her. Because it was an example of the marriage covenant. It was an example of the covenant God made with his people, that he kept sending Hosea, whose name actually means salvation, to go and redeem his wife. And most of us guys would have said, enough already! But yet that shows the heart of the God who was willing to send his son to the cross to die for us so that we could be in covenant with him. He uses the image of marriage because he wants us to understand, as it says in Ephesians chapter 5, that we are Christ's church. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. You see, Jesus, in Revelation, it talks about us being the bride of Christ. We are his bride. And the covenant of marriage, he puts great stock in that. Now, I'm not trying to stand here in judgment of people who are divorced, because that is not what this is about. This is about his relationship with us and his desire for us to understand his heart. And and Jesus, when he's speaking to the Pharisees, he says, you know, he doesn't say you can't get divorced. He says those who divorce for anything other than marital unfaithfulness, right? I wish he would have defined marital unfaithfulness, by the way. If I was there, I'd put up my hand and say, can you do a definition? But I wasn't, so anyways. But the point is, he desires that love, that relationship, be pure and holy. He desires that relationship reflect the covenant and his heart for us. And that's why, you know, when everybody was watching this royal wedding and all the pomp and circumstance, all this, the beautiful music and all the amazing things that were going on, I mean, I was thinking to myself, you know, this is something, but it's going to be much more awesome when the Lord returns and takes us, his church, his bride, to be with him forever, isn't it? This is just a poor, faded picture of what it's going to be like when the Lord brings us to himself. He's already doing it, right? He's already in relationship with us, and he only wants to make it more and more tangible. He wants to stand up in front of the whole world and say, I'm with him. Or I'm with her. They're mine. They're part of my chosen people. They are my royal priesthood. They're my holy nation. They're a people belonging to me. He wants to stand up in front of everybody and say, yes! Right? That's the reason that the covenant is so important. The covenant is all about what God has done, what he initiated, what he's willing to do for us, that he has entered into this relationship with us. He's done it all. He died and he rose again. He's done it all. And he desperately wants us to understand and to know the mystery of who we are in him. And that's why he says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. When we talk about being one in Christ, we talk about the fact that he honors us as we honor him. He protects us as we recognize his strength in our lives. He gives us what we need when we recognize his provision for us. He gives us healing when we're sick. He gives us the ability to know that no matter what comes up against us, he is always going to be there for us. The covenant that he provides for us is one that is everlasting, and he will always pursue us, just like Hosea pursued his wife. He will always pursue us, and he will never let us go. We can keep walking away, but he's always there waiting for us to turn and to come back. And when we turn, he immediately, without reservation, forgives us all of our sins and offers us that relationship totally, completely, and purely. Love. Total love again. He's not like us. How many of us, if someone wanted to come back, we'd say on this condition or that condition, or if you do this or you do that, then it's over. How many of us are good at putting conditions on things? It's human nature. And yet the Lord, when he forgives, it's complete, right? His grace is pure and complete. When he forgives us our sins, they are completely forgiven. He's the one who says, I take that sin and wash it as white as snow, which we're praying won't come for a long time. No more white stuff for a while. Brothers and sisters, I hope and pray that God makes this so evident to you. This day and every day, he loves you. He died and rose again for you. And he's made a covenant with you. Many of us he made through the waters of baptism even before we were aware of it. He made this covenant. Just like Abram, when he was sleeping, he went through between the animals. He cut the covenant with him even while he was unaware. Till the end of it. God has entered into a covenant with you. You are precious and loved. And he desperately wants you to understand that you can never do anything that he's not willing to forgive. You can never run far enough away that he isn't willing to run after you. Our earthly marriages are very important. I can't imagine not being married. When I read that gospel lesson, when I substituted for the gospel lesson that was in the pericopes, I thought to myself, that's a hard word because it says, you know, he who can accept this not getting married thing should. That wasn't me. And I'm thankful. Some people are called to it. I wasn't. But our marriages, as far as God is concerned, are to be examples for people to understand the love the Father has for us. And it's my prayer that as we, if you were bold enough to watch that wedding, just as I've gone to weddings, I don't know, I do a lot of weddings, but I like going to weddings and sitting there and watching people when the marriage vows are exchanged, how many people kind of look at each other and go, yeah, we said that once. Ever noticed? Remember? It's kind of scary for a pastor when people are giving each other the elbow, saying, you're not doing that. I think they probably need a talking to. But the ones who are kind of smiling and going, yeah, you know, we made that promise. That's the love the Father has for us. He wants us to look at him each day and say, thank you, Lord, for doing it all. Thank you for dying and rising again. Thank you for loving us so much that we can never run far enough away to escape your love. And we can never do anything that you won't forgive and love us no matter what. May we think about the pomp and circumstance of a royal wedding and think it just pales in comparison to what happens in the heavenly realms every time we turn and turn back to our God and say, we're sorry, and he puts his arms around us and says, I love you. You are forgiven. Jesus said it this way. All of heaven celebrates. All of heaven rejoices when one person repents. Let's make heaven celebrate today, okay? Let's just get a glimpse of what is happening in heaven as we receive the grace, mercy, and love the Father has for us in this covenant that he has given to us of his everlasting love.